You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We are so blessed today to have one of the best CPA firms in Southern California that talk to us about how they are working regularly with small to medium-sized businesses to help them thrive. Now, as you know, the whole point of the Pilgrim on the 405 is to find those places that are thriving and to find out what they're doing to thrive, and then to find out those support teams that are helping businesses thrive. And one very important support team is the CPA, the accountant. And I have met many accountants, many CPAs, but I have to tell you that Hugo Gonzalez is one of the premier. Now, you may not have heard Hugo Gonzalez's name up in lights, but many of our great supporters are quiet and consistent and work hard and are very effective in helping businesses thrive in California. So welcome, Hugo.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about how you see the role of the accountant in helping small and medium-sized businesses.
Yes, well, we believe in the team.
So how did you get into the accounting profession?
Years ago, I started my career as an accountant working for public companies and private companies. And as I climbed my way to the position of CFO, I began to acquire the experience necessary to assist smaller businesses, and primarily the business owners understand a little bit more about their business from the financial perspective.
Well, talk to me about how businesses get started, and to what degree do most business owners know how to run a business?
Well, this is one of the items that we've observed throughout our career, is that small business owners tend to grow their firm by the hip, never by the numbers. And for most of my career, I've spent instructing CEOs and presidents about those specific items, running the business by the numbers, strategies, and being a structured business.
What do you see as the primary sustainers of thriving growth in California, and what are some of the obstacles?
Well, the main sustainer, I would say, is understanding your business as a wealth-creating vehicle, as an ascension to wealth. We got to look at the business as a vehicle to generate wealth. We have to understand the component of it, what our objective is, and the goals, the physical and tangible goals that the business will have, so that at the end of the day, we're generating profitability and we're growing and is adding to our wealth.
Well, now, it seems to me that in my conversations with business folks, that very often they get focused on what they are doing, what they're creating, the product, the service, and they want to believe that if they create it, the world will come.
Absolutely, and we see that all the time. We meet with entrepreneurs, small businesses, and individuals that are transitioning from corporate America that are looking to start their business. They have a passion for a specific product or service that they're looking to start. Problem is that they have not looked at the financial, the numbers, what we call. Does that business or that opportunity make sense? Before we go in and investing money, we got to make sure that we're sitting down with our accountant, financial planner, and understanding, is it making sense? Is the business, are we getting into a business that there's going to be a value down the road? There's going to be some profitability. We are in business to generate profit and to increase our wealth for whatever reason that we're entering that.
And it seems to me that lots of people come up with great ideas for products, great ideas for services. And given the internet, it seems so simple to turn those great ideas and great services into a business.
Yes, it is quite easy. We've seen the growth of eBay. We've seen growth of businesses that that you can resell home goods. You can resell goods that are produced by other companies, and you can certainly add some sort of value and create some sort of profit. Problem is that they're not treating them as real businesses. They're treating them as, you know, additional cash, but in how the Internal Revenue Service will consider that as a hobby. And so in reality, they're not really businesses, because the business, we're looking at a structured way of generating wealth for the long term.
When you talk about generating wealth, we're not talking about additional cash flow.
Correct. That we're looking at creating, and for the most part, most of our clients that come in are looking to transition into entrepreneurship from corporate America. And ideally, they want to substitute their income from working the many hours into something they could manage independently. And for the most part, they do succeed. Unfortunately, the lack of planning and the lack of a plan leads them to going back to corporate America, and unfortunately have lost some of those investments. And the most sad part is that they've lost the time.
So let's talk about what is it that that an entrepreneur, someone seeking to create wealth, to create an alternative to corporate America, what are the things that they can be doing to increase the probability that their business will thrive?
Yes, well, one of the important parts in what we, as a firm, we always recommend is the most important part is developing that team of professionals, that team of resources that have the experience behind them to help you understand your idea, your proposition. Does that make sense? Is there any legal implications? Are there any tax implications to that? Is there any opportunities? Do you have what's necessary, specifically more in the capital? Do you have is there going to be enough cash flow to maintain the business until you make that transition? So your team of professionals will assist you directly into that. Second part is going to be the development of a business plan, understanding what is the idea, what are the elements necessary to get that idea into the public or into the shelves. And so a business plan really helps you understand and go through the process before actually starting the business and maximizing the possibilities of success.
All right, so let's go back to talking about the team. And you talk about develop the team. So who are members? What are the positions that we need to put onto this team in order to get onto the field to play?
Initially, when you create a business, there's really three of the large elements that are necessary to understand. Number one is going to be the legal implications. So certainly you will bring an attorney that will talk to you about the legal implications of the business, whether you're starting a daycare facility or you may be starting a bookkeeping company. And so they will tell you, how should I protect myself? How can I separate my business from my personal? The second individuals or the second part of your team will be your CPA. Your CPA will talk to you specifically about the business in detail. What is the opportunity based on clients that we have or based on the potential competition out there? What is it that these businesses are generating? What is the capital requirement? And what do you expect, anticipate in profitability? And will that suffice your needs? And then the third will be is your financial planner. Where are we going to get the money? Are we going to borrow from our 401k plan? Certainly that may have some sort of implication. Are we going to sell some stock? Again, there's some tax implication there. what's going to be the best scenario? We may need a banker at that point as well to help us finance a part of the business.
So where does the planning for how the business is going to run? Who develops that?
Usually the planning is done, a lot of it through the through the CPA or your accountant, where the CPAs and accountants have a vast amount of information, companies that have been successful, companies that have failed, and so they would be probably your best resource to sit down with them and understand the type of business that you're trying to create. What is the potential, and what is your, really your objective in the business? Are you if that's going to be an additional income to you, or you're going to replace your current job?
All right. So how would people go about to evaluate a CPA firm? What would be something that an entrepreneur would look for? How will he know the difference between? Well, let's talk about the difference between CPA firms.
One of the majors, I can speak to you about our difference. One of our major differences is that we give our clients the individual time to them to really understand and develop that relationship, to understand what their three-year goal is going to be. We want to understand what the objective for their personal wealth, are they trying to grow their wealth, or they're trying to maintain their wealth? So it is important for us to meet with them during our first meeting. We really assess what they're looking to accomplish.
So it sounds to me like in your firm that you function very much like a business coach.
That's correct. Our competitive advantage has been the time we spend with our clients. Like I mentioned to you about the initial meeting with our prospective clients, planning a three-year plan and aligning the client's resources to meet their objectives. What we provide is more of the hand-holding, helping them understand a little bit about how is that transition going to play out. Secondly, identifying where those resources are going to be coming from, but also helping them through the process. Having ran different businesses as a CFO, our competitive advantage certainly is our experience that we have running those businesses, and we want to transfer that experience to our clients so they can minimize the risk of failing in businesses.
Now, it seems to me that there are a number of a number of CPA firms, accounting firms, who primarily do taxes for companies, and that the relationship between the business owner and the accounting firm is one of compliance. Help me to stay out of trouble, help me to pay my taxes, and that means that they might come in once or twice a year, but it's right around tax time.
Yeah, that's correct. Typically, the client will perform their accounting bookkeeping through the year, and once that's wrapped up, the following year you will send information to the accountant. The accountant will then prepare the corporate requirements, tax returns, and thereof, and submit those to the agencies. Unfortunately, there's very little planning and there's very little interaction. What we have done is our first meeting with our clients is normally right after April 15th, when we begin to meet with our clients specifically on tax planning. We want to understand where they're going to land before the end of the year. So a projection is completed, and we begin to understand, if nothing changes, this is how the picture or the financial picture or the tax liability is going to be. There we begin to develop tax strategies or planning before the end of the year. Are there any expenditures that need to be created before the end of the year? Anything that we can do before, any tax planning that can be done before the end of the year and save some money and minimize that exposure of taxes.
Now, my sense in talking with people that most small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses, pay $2,500 to $3,600 a year to do that tax filing process. Is that fairly reasonable?
I would say it is. It's pretty much the average. What we've seen is that now, as clients have grown their companies, they're beginning to pay a little bit more of tax, and they're not seeing that until the end of the year when it's too late. And we've seen clients borrow money to pay for that. So the importance of planning is probably more important now than it has been to minimize that tax.
Well, my question is, that's what people are paying $2,400 to $3,600 to get their taxes done, to do the kind of thing you're talking about, which is, didn't you say you're going to meet with people regularly once a month or something to take a look at?
Correct.
That's got to be very expensive.
No, actually, what we've since we've started, we've focused on small businesses and startups, and so we understand the value that they need a professional. And so we've created different programs that start at $350 a month. And that basically includes the entire financial accounting, the bookkeeping, the reconciliations, the preparing of the financial statements, as well as sitting with the owner and president and our board and understanding their growth. At the same time, we're strategizing on tax efficiencies and how they could minimize their tax at the end of the year. So our clients really benefit from the time that we can give to them on a month-to-month or quarterly basis.
So you're really talking about being a member of the team.
Absolutely, yes.
So helping not only to track the numbers, but also to help them be accountable for the goals that they set for themselves and their company.
Yes, that's correct.
Yep. So what percentage of your clients actually take advantage of that kind of team support?
Well, our current firm, our firm has over 300 business clients, and they all range from startup, $200,000 in gross income, to about $50 million in gross income. And the benefit that they generated from the helping them strategize. I would say a good percentage, over 75% of our clients utilize our service throughout the year. Some of them on a monthly basis, some of them on a quarterly basis, and a few of them on a biannual basis. But at the very least, we want to meet with them every quarter so that we can go over where they're at specifically, and again, develop that plan to minimize that tax and for them to continue the growth of their business.
All right, so talk about how you interact with the rest of the team members.
During our quarterly meetings, specifically in the third and fourth quarter, those are usually year-end type of meetings, we begin to work with the financial planner. Financial planner will develop different plans specifically for those clients that are generating substantial large income, and those could be generating over $100,000 in profit. Then we begin to speak to them about developing some sort of retirement planning, creating some sort of 401k plans or self-directed plans that will be what the client is looking for and their very specific needs for financial planning. At the same time, we may involve the attorney as they will be preparing trust documents or some sort of asset protection for their businesses as they're beginning to grow.
So talk to me a little bit about how you generate new clients for your firm.
We are a very community-oriented firm. We have performed various seminars throughout Orange County and Los Angeles County, specifically entitled Small Business Boot Camps, where we want to educate our business community. We want them to understand the basic fundamentals of business. We want them to understand why businesses fail, and we want to give them the model of how to succeed in business.
Well, tell me a little bit more about what this Entrepreneur's Boot Camp is about.
This Entrepreneur Boot Camp is a four-hour seminar. It's a workshop primarily where we have a workbook and we talk about the structure of business from ground zero. Quite a bit of our new participants have created businesses through filing fictitious business names, and that may not be a viable option for them, although that's what the recommended process has been. So what we want to do, anyone that is looking to start a business or those ones that created fictitious names, we want to really talk to them about the differences of the entities. We want to talk to them about, from the financial perspective, what each entity and its tax implication will be if I'm a sole proprietor, and if I have generates a certain amount of income, what is going to be my tax implication? If you're a corporation or a limited liability company, what are the ways that I could minimize the tax? And at the same time, we coordinate that with an attorney who begins to speak about the legal aspects of those structures. We move directly into the financial planning of a business, creating projections, understanding the true costs and the needs, the capital needs for the business that they're looking to start.
Great. Now, what I hear is that you as a firm have done a lot of work with local high schools and colleges, and I want to hear more about that. But we're going to take a break right now and hear a little bit from our sponsors. We've been talking to Hugo Gonzalez of Gonzalez CPA firm here in Orange County, what I believe is one of the most committed and passionate firms in support of entrepreneurial growth for small to medium-sized businesses. We'll be right back after we hear a word from our sponsors.
Does your company need more than basic financial transactions? Are you holding your business back with your entry-level accounting software? When your business starts to grow, and it will, you'll need more security, features, and functionality. Well, let me introduce you to Gravity Software. Gravity Software's online accounting solution is written on the Microsoft CRM platform. No more islands of information. Financials and CRM are fully integrated and in the cloud. Gravity's goal is to fill the gap between entry-level accounting software like QuickBooks and complex and expensive enterprise applications. Gravity Software, simply innovative business management. Learn more at go-gravity.com.
Hi, it's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Traditional sales training teaches techniques on how to eliminate stalls and objections. Some are fancy sales moves, while others are programmed responses. Sales is a conversation, and I don't know how you can memorize every possible response for every sales situation. Also, the prospect has usually heard these responses before and has been turned off by some fancy sales move. When you really think about it, the only person qualified to address the stall or objection is the prospect. Ask the right questions and you will eliminate stalls and objections. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
And now back to Will and his guest.
So we've been talking to Hugo Gonzalez, and we're back to get a little deeper into the kind of impact that the Gonzalez CPA firm has been making and wants to continue making to the entrepreneurial spirit in Orange County. Now, we are one of, Hugo, we're one of the 19th largest economies in the world, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And yes. this is just a geyser of entrepreneurial spirit here.
Absolutely. Irvine specifically has been, in Orange County, has been one of the leading entrepreneurial cities and counties that exist. We are entrepreneurial. Well, here in the Orange County, there's approximately 189 businesses started on a day-to-day basis at the county clerk's office. That doesn't count entities that are incorporating at the state level. So we see a great number of entrepreneurial spirit here with the local universities and colleges, and that's certainly something that our our professionals should begin to support.
Well, now, is it still true that only 10% of businesses that get started survive after the fifth year?
You know what? The latest studies by the Kauffman Foundation and entrepreneurial nonprofit, yes, those numbers are still correct. And what we've seen, we've actually tracked several businesses through the process. And the biggest challenge is the lack of access to resources. What we've seen is that specifically a lot of the professionals begin to there's that disconnect of larger CPAs not being able to service smaller smaller startups. And the individual becomes a little disappointed of the ability for them to tap into the resources and or professional advice. We have opened our doors, not only created different programs such as the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Institute, that we provide seminars for small businesses, but also we've provided our internal services where clients can come in or potential clients can come in and we talk to them about their business and their progression through a successful business.
Well, now, are those seminars, are they expensive?
You know, we've started the seminar since 2003. All of our seminars have been at no cost. They've been they're community oriented. There is a fee for the workbook. It's very minimal, $10 workbook, and the seminars are 4 hours long, which we they've become very interactive. A lot of prospects, a lot of individuals starting businesses, they have quite a bit of questions, especially in this economic in challenging times that we have.
All right, so. Tell me some stories of companies that have gotten started up in Orange County and have succeeded.
Well, we have many, many successful stories, but we've seen clients start businesses such as after our seminars, we've had a coffee cart company that started right about 8 years ago. And her goal was to service the local courthouses. And so she began to create her business plan. She was one of the first ones that developed her business plan during the seminar. And the offering for them is, if you finish your business plan, come into our office at no cost, and we will help you with the financial planning and the projections. She did come in that following Monday. The seminar was on Friday. She came in on Monday. We created her business plan. By within 2 weeks, she had her first cart at the Orange County courthouse. And then within 3 months, she had 6 carts throughout the court system buildings. A lot of that is due to the professionals being there for the entrepreneur. How the professionals helping them and directing them, making those decisions, or at least giving them those options so they can make those decisions. Most business owners and or entrepreneurs understand the basic concepts. They just need to really engage with the professional so that they are comfortable in looking at all the possible risks that are available out there that will keep them from growing their business.
And what about a story about a company that failed?
A lot of the companies that fail is what we've seen is that businesses that will sit down with you, you help them plan, and unfortunately they do not, they believe that they have the better formula. They begin to not report all of their income. They begin not to follow the required reporting to the authorities, such as the Board of Equalization, such as sales tax. And so they begin to get in trouble. Another thing is that they'll misclassify employees versus contractors. And so right off the bat, they're not doing what they should be doing. They are they're trying to generate income, but they're not trying to have a structured business. And so the possibilities of them not succeeding becomes very, very minimal as they continue.
Well, now, it is difficult to do business in California. It's complicated. It's a lot of financial requirements, and there are a lot of regulations.
Absolutely, yes, Will. California is one of the toughest environments to start a business, specifically now with the new tax laws, also with the new employee rate hike. There's a lot of new changes in businesses that business owners need to sit down with their professionals and identify how are those going to impact their business directly. We've seen quite a bit of our clients that are labor intensive look at those new laws that are affecting them, the classification of employees versus contractors. And so it is important to stay abreast of all of those items that will affect your company. But more specifically, really understanding how can we adapt to the environment and continue our objective? That's going to be the best.
Yeah, it seems to me that team, when you're using the analogy of the team, that's really what happens in California. California has its particular constraints, its particular opportunities, and particular advantages. And so when somebody says, I'm going to stay in California, I'm not leaving, then it seems to me that it's incumbent upon them. Well, they have to choose between a very unfortunate choice and a very good choice, and you were talking about that. And the good choice is to find a team that can understand and stay abreast of all the regulations, of all the requirements, and advise, because the successful company is the one who has learned to operate within that environment. One of the people that I've been speaking to said that doing a business in California is very much like doing business in Alaska, especially northern Alaska, around Fairbanks, where it's very, very cold. You can't pretend that it's not cold and act as if it were a warm climate. And likewise, in California, you can't pretend that it's Omaha and act in the way that you would if you were in Omaha. This takes a very sophisticated, very comprehensive, and a team of people who understand not how to circumvent, but how to adapt to and then succeed in the midst of the regulatory environment, the financial environment that we have in California.
Correct. No, absolutely. I do agree. And our professionals are not following us every step of the way or charging us every hour. What you have, you're becoming more of a resourceful entrepreneur or a business owner. You're tapping into their knowledge, into what has led businesses to succeed, and avoiding any of those pitfalls that would minimize the success. With some of the professionals have actually ran businesses just like the one you're starting, and they will help you go through the different channels to minimize the time it will take you to be successful.
And so success is not something that we hope for and then it magically falls from heaven. Success is something we envision, we plan for, we execute, and when it's not successful, we make those changes so that because becomes successful. But that doesn't happen when we only talk to our resources once a year when it comes time to file taxes.
Absolutely, no, and certainly what we want to do is we want to, as a part of the team of professionals, we want to stay in tune with the clients. Several of our clients have asked some of our staff to not call them on a consistent basis because we feel that we're personally attached to some of these results. Some of our clients have operations that require to be to look at their financials on a monthly basis. They're running operations that are generating substantial amounts of income that ultimately at the end of the year will have a taxed effect. So we're constantly monitoring them, making sure that everything is in compliance with the authorities, and if there's any change in that industry, how is that going to change their bottom line?
Right, and now what I'm curious about next is tell me a little bit about how you've been impacting the community in Irvine and in Orange County with this entrepreneurial spirit.
In 2003, we established a nonprofit organization that we have made it part of our pillars of that sustains our vision, which is community-based. And we've set out to train and educate small businesses that have just started. So we invite them for our smaller business bootcamp, and that smaller business bootcamp will allow them to really understand a little bit more about business. We have many success companies that have come out of the small business and entrepreneurship bootcamp. Some of them are vendors for Disney and a lot of the amusement parks. We have companies that are they're leading organic recycled type of products. And when we sat down with them, it was only an idea. As the day went by and the business model became very clear, we understood that that was a viable business and they were going to proceed it. And today, they're actually thriving businesses.
So this sounds very much like the incubators that are around. There are a number at universities, like the entrepreneurial group at Chapman and Fullerton.
Correct.
And then
yes,
there's also some independent incubators associated with them, aren't there?
That's correct. Yes, we do. Yeah, we've actually worked. Our first training was to the SBA. It was actually working and training financial planning with the SBA. Then we did some of our own seminars, and then we just began to consider seminars. But we have interacted with the different groups that you have mentioned in the past. We've also been part of Entrepreneur Week, which happens on an annual basis. And so we're highly promoters of the entrepreneurship spirit here in Orange County.
Well, people like Michael Sawitz and Ray Chen, they make major commitments to helping people grow, helping people to take their ideas and put them into a business, not only to develop the idea, but also to put them into a business plan that's going to succeed.
Absolutely.
So what would you say to people who are looking to develop an idea? What can they do?
One of the most important parts is really to have that idea, solidify that idea, and do as much research as possible so that that idea becomes crystal clear. Identify what problem are you solving and what is it going to take, financially speaking, to make that business succeed. And what is the opportunity of that? Is it scalable? Who is it going to, how much is that going to generate you, and what are the requirements for that business to What will be those requirements for that business?
Well, now, what I observe is that people come up with a great idea, and as the founder, they fall in love with their idea. They certainly get excited when friends and family begin to buy their idea, their product, or their service. There comes a point when they have exhausted all of their friends and family in terms of purchasing, and then it moves from being a great idea to now we have a business. Mm-hmm. And now we begin to have sales processes. Now that is a very, very different skill to manage, to create, to sustain, and to manage a sales process.
Absolutely, yes. Well, I've seen that working as a CFO for different companies, where the business has began to grow, and now there's what we call growing pains. You begin to need additional personnel. You need to evaluate the consistency and the growth of the business, and now you need to manage different facets of the business. You need to begin to structure the business and act as a structured business. You need to begin to implement departments, and you need to begin to look at the at the financial aspect of each part of the business, from the cost perspective, from the profitability of each of the sources of revenue, to the managing of the overhead.
And what might start off as a business with a very good idea for a product or a service, at some point that founder begins to ask for assistance and may wind up accumulating a group of people who are there to do what he tells them to do. As the business grows, that founder, the business owner, can no longer be sufficiently informed about the various aspects of his business. For example, a business today that is growing needs to know a lot about the Affordable Care Act, but that is a very complicated act, and that requires professional support, professional understanding, and professional planning to deal with it. In terms of sales, in terms of financial aspects of the business, as it grows, it moves from requiring people who will do what the owner says to people who will become professional and begin to advise the owner on what needs to be done.
Correct. Yeah. Well, the business, as it begins to grow, will begin to need specific talent or human capital that will take the business from that current level to the next level, so that the business will continue to grow. The business owner sometimes may not be experienced in that area of growth. They may have the relationships, but the structure will need to be created at that point to begin the scaling process. Sometimes what I've seen is that investment groups and sometimes even the board will bring in additional assistance. It could be a consultant. Sometimes we've been brought up as a CPA firm to help through the transition, hiring a consultant that will help them structure that process and or bring in new staff to manage their growth. At the level.
And this is a place where the entrepreneurial operating system the book Traction is a good example of the direction to move from this. And this is a place where not only are you structuring the business, but you're also training the people to learn how to use that operating system. And so they're actually acting in ways that are going to be supportive of the business rather than simply lining up outside the owner's office every day and asking, what do I do next, boss?
Absolutely. And also the systems that will go be with that, making sure that everyone understands that common objective.
Yeah, so start off with getting a really clear vision for where we want to go, how we're going to get there, what the big goal is for this business, what kind of transition are we looking at over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Correct.
Get the right people in the right spot. Get the kind of data that you're talking about on a regular basis that everybody can agree upon and no arguments about the data. And then learning how to deal with these issues, not waiting for this owner to solve the issues, but actually being able to participate in solving the issues with the best professional expertise that people can do. Getting all the processes of the businesses written down, because that's the real value of the business, right?
Absolutely, yes. You want to make sure that everybody is bought in on that objective so that you begin to grow in that direction. Smaller businesses have a higher and faster timing to change anything within the business growth because they're smaller and they're able to adapt quickly to the environment where they're going to be more successful in the long run.
Being aware that starting a business means that you have a team there, that as you grow, there will be times when your team is going to change because of different requirements. But having that team available is essential. If you're thinking about winning the Super Bowl, you're not going to do it as a lone quarterback. You have to have a team.
Correct.
That, number one, sees the vision, believes they can get there, and is committed to making the the long charge from the preseason preparation all the way to the Super Bowl itself.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it seems to me that this is a wonderful piece of conversation for not only businesses that are starting up or people who are contemplating starting up businesses, but also for those businesses that somewhere between about 2 million and 20 million make this transition from an owner-centric business to the business that's going to be run with professional expertise in the various departments.
Correct. Yes.
Well, so, you know, there are people that you want to attract to your firm. So describe for us who do you want to attract to your firm right now?
What we usually look for is businesses that are growing, that individuals, entrepreneurs that are looking to grow their business, that are looking to have a team of experts take them to that direction. We want, and we like dealing with presidents, smaller businesses, any business from a startup position all the way up to, I would say, about 10 million in sales, where they're either starting a business or they're stuck in a specific place where they're not growing, where they're not taking opportunities of the tax code on their behalf, individuals that have not grown for a while. And so those are the ideal clients that we can create a strategic plan for them, develop tax strategies, and implement structure inside of their businesses to help them grow and structure their wealth.
So if someone wanted to speak with you further, how would they do that?
They can actually contact our office. Our main number is 949-333-0161, or they can visit us at www.gonzalezcpa.com, spelled GONZALEZCPA.com, and they can schedule a complimentary appointment where we can assess their current situation and develop a plan for them.
Well, thank you very much, Hugo. This has been
thank you.
Great contribution to business in Orange County, especially in Irvine. We've talked a lot about businesses that are starting up with great ideas. And what did you say? How many businesses every day get started, business licenses in Irvine?
Yesterday they had 189 businesses that started in Orange County.
And I think from my data, there's about 13,000 businesses in Orange County.
That's correct.
So we have a wealth of activity going on here. This is not Omaha.
No, it certainly is.
And so I think one of the things that we could encourage people who have a great idea, who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial spirit, to give Hugo a call, find some places where you can help build your team to become successful and to learn how to thrive in business in California. This is the Pilgrim on the 405, urging you all to make that business thrive.
You've been listening to the Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.